issues, etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. We're preparing for a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues, Etc. on November 2nd and 3rd, and we want to play your answer. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from, 618-223-8382. Issues, Etc. What does this mean?
They are among the most familiar words that Jesus probably ever spoke. And they're the kind of words that, well, you can even find liberal Bible scholars who doubt the veracity and the reliability of most of what the New Testament Gospels say about Jesus. They'll still hang on to these because they can be, and often are, interpreted as kind of generic moral platitudes. Good spiritual ideas with not a lot of substance or depth, and they're disconnected from the one who spoke them, that is Jesus Christ, and what he really means when he says that those who are poor in spirit, they are blessed. Those who are meek, they inherit the earth. All of these things, if they're just read as moral platitudes, really lose their force. They lose their place in Matthew's gospel, and they just become, well, platitudes rather than beatitudes. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's our Pastor's Roundtable for the first hour of the program, and we're giving away a copy of the Lutheran Study Bible to the listener with the best question or comment in the course of this hour as we look at the classic Beatitudes from Matthew chapter 5, the first 12 verses. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can leave your question or comment for our Pastor's Roundtable at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. In the second hour of the program, Pastor Roger James joins us. We're going to be talking about Lutheranism around the world, continuing our short series during this Reformation week. We will go to Sri Lanka. He is a missionary to Sri Lanka for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Then we'll round off today's, what shall we call this, a Halloween-ween, that's what it is. It's a Halloween Eve. The 30th of October, we'll get a history of Halloween and dispel some of the new mythology about Halloween, that it has its origins in paganism, in Celtic rites, and in all the dark and strange things of the Wicca claims to have Halloween as its holiday. Is any of that true? We'll talk about the history of Halloween in the last half hour of Issues, Etc. Our Pastor's Roundtable this afternoon, Pastor Kevin Golden joins us here in the studio. He's a regular guest and pastor of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, a suburb of St. Louis. Kevin, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And from Pacifica, California, where he's pastor of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, Pastor Dan Kistler. Dan, welcome back.
Nice to be back.
When you were an evangelical, and I believe you were formerly an evangelical, Dan, how did you, or how were you taught to read these famous words of Jesus, the Beatitudes?
Well, the way that I understood them were that they were attitudes, characteristics that you were to strive after. So, for example, when Jesus says the poor in spirit are blessed, or blessed are the poor in spirit, then you sort of turned inward on yourself and you asked yourself, well, now am I poor in spirit? Do I need to work on this one? And how do I get myself that way? It was almost like these were commandments of Jesus, things that we had to strive for.
And how is it different for you now in the light of Lutheran theology?
I have learned, well, much of what I've learned about the Beatitudes comes from Dr. Jeffrey Gibbs and his commentary on Matthew, the Concordia commentary. I actually had him as a professor at the seminary and learned how to see these Beatitudes in a very gospel way, beginning with the word blessed is a very gospel word. And so now I have come to see these not as sort of attitudes or characteristics that I must strive for as a Christian, but they describe a status that I have been given in Jesus Christ as who I am as a disciple of Jesus, and that will lead to certain actions or attitudes on my part. But it isn't something that I have to work for, but it's a gift to me in Christ.
Let's talk about that word. It's repeated again and again and again here, Kevin. It's the Greek is makarioi. It could be used. Sometimes it's happy. Sometimes it's blessed. Mm-hmm. But what does it mean? Why is that particular word so important for understanding these verses?
Yeah, Pastor Kistler did a great job of getting us started on that by focusing on it as something that is given to you. It's about the status in which you find yourself. To maybe borrow a term from philosophy, it's an ontological kind of statement. You just simply are blessed. It's not because of something you have done, but it's simply a statement about who you are. But whenever you hear that word blessed, or here in the Greek it's makarioi, as you mentioned, is a question of, well, who has put you into that status? You are blessed by whom, if you will. And you get a lot in these verses as far as who is blessed and in what way they're blessed. So, for example, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Well, here's how you're blessed. The kingdom of heaven is yours, but who is doing that blessing? From whence does that blessing come? And that's very clearly coming from Christ. He's the one speaking the blessing, and so it's his word, by him speaking it, that brings us into that blessed state.
So to put a point on that, if you read these as attitudes that you must attain to in order to receive the blessing, then you really are the source of the blessing.
Correct.
Rather than Jesus himself.
Yeah. It's something that you earn, you merit in some way by your actions, but that's certainly not the way that Christ operates. He is simply speaking this reality, and his word does what it says. His word creates reality, and so when he says, blessed are you, well, then you're simply blessed, apart from anything you're doing, but simply because of what he's doing. You could even tie this. This happens regularly in the services of God's house, in the divine service, when you hear a pastor say, the Lord bless you and keep you. Well, it's not because you are doing something that merits that, but simply because here is God working according to his word to simply bring that blessing to you apart from anything you yourself have done.
There's a kind of general question from one of our listeners. Adam in Round Lake, Illinois, asks Pastor Kistler, why are they called Beatitudes? Is there any connection with the seven virtues? Why are they called Beatitudes?
Well, it comes from the Latin word beatitudo, which simply means blessedness, and there's nine of them listed here. I think you said he asked about cardinal virtues and if they're the same thing. Cardinal virtues, and I get this from the Lutheran Encyclopedia, it's not like I could just pull it out of my head, but Plato in his Republic regarded prudence, fortitude, temperance and justice as cardinal virtues, also called natural virtues. But then there were some three theological virtues that were later added on by Christian writers, and they are faith, hope, and love. So the Beatitudes are not really the same as the cardinal virtues, although they might have things in common with the theological virtues, such as faith, hope, and love. And those have their place in the Beatitudes as well, but not really the same things.
Can we talk a little bit about the context here, of the general context of the giving of the Beatitudes, Pastor Golden? Where do we find Jesus? Who is he speaking to? Where does this fit within the bigger framework of the first part of Matthew's gospel?
When it comes to Matthew, one of the things that really sets Matthew off is the fact that he is speaking to a decidedly Hebrew audience. He's known for that, therefore he quotes a lot from the Old Testament, because that's going to resonate with a Hebrew audience. And so one of the things that Matthew does in that regard is Matthew is really makes use of five major discourses or oratorical moments by Jesus, and this is the first of those five. This is the Beatitudes comes at the beginning of the what's known as the Sermon on the Mount, and so that is very popular, therefore, it resonates well, once again, with Hebrews, because they think of the most critical part of the Old Testament, that which is core and central for them, will be the first five books of the Old Testament, the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They think about Moses, they think about five, the Pentateuch, as it's often referred to. And so there's these five discourses. This is the first of those. And if you read verse 1 of chapter 5, you find out that this all begins with Jesus seeing the crowds, and then he goes up on the mountain, and he specifically calls to himself, or who comes to him is specifically his disciples, and that is who Jesus really starts speaking to. And here, the Greek is rather helpful for us, because when it says he began to teach them, the them clearly refers back to the disciples. If he wanted to say that he was teaching just the general crowds that were coming to him, there's a specific Greek pronoun that could be used there that would kind of woodenly be translated as, and he began to speak to those guys, but instead it's them, specifically the disciples. So he's speaking to his disciples, and if you will, he begins to lay out, this is what life under his kingdom, under Christ's rule and reign, is like. And it all begins with Christ simply blessing. Blessed are you.
With only a minute here, Pastor Kistler, the kingdom of heaven is one that shows up here early. What does that phrase, so we get off on the right foot here, what does that phrase mean when Matthew uses it, when he has Jesus using that phrase?
Yeah, Gibbs talks about a sort of a now but not yetness aspect to the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And that is that the kingdom comes nearer to us as the king of this kingdom comes down in the flesh to us. And we see him beginning his reign, setting up his reign, which is not an earthly reign. He's not an earthly king. But he sets up the reign of heaven as he does what he does and says what he says throughout Matthew. So he's casting out demons. He's healing people. He's raising people from the dead. He's teaching. He's forgiving sins. All of that is part of what it means that the kingdom of heaven is now come near in Jesus. At this time, the kingdom of heaven has sort of overlapped the time in which we live in this present evil age, and then to come at its fullness at the new creation.
Pastor Dan Kistler is our guest, and Pastor Kevin Golden. They're our Pastor's Roundtable on this Tuesday afternoon, October the 30th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muskoka, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muskoka, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning till noon on Saturday, November 3rd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2012 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 3rd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
The faith once for all delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. We're preparing for a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. on November 2nd and 3rd, and we want to play your answer. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from, 618-223-8382. Issues Etc. What does this mean?
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Jesus.
Stanza of a great Stephen Starkey hymn based upon this text, Matthew 5, Jesus sat with his disciples. And a special thanks to Mark Eicher of Lutheran Hour Ministries for providing us with that excellent recording of this hymn. We're talking about the Beatitudes. It's our pastor's roundtable. Pastor Kevin Golden, Pastor Dan Kistler. Now, a lot of the things that we're talking about here, you will find pastors are not original. We try to be original, but we fail most of the time. You find these kind of insights from good teachers like Pastor Kistler has mentioned, Dr. Jeff Gibbs of Concordia Seminary, who's one of the contributors to the Lutheran Study Bible, a resource that pastors often draw their brilliant, novel insights from, just building on the shoulders of better scholars and better thinkers. The Lutheran Study Bible is full of that kind of resource for you and for your pastor. Find out more about the Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. So we have the context for this. We have the general definition of what it means to be blessed. This is a state of being that the disciples find themselves in by virtue of Jesus' proclamation. When it starts, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Pastor Kistler, is he establishing already there that these disciples of his are citizens of this reign of heaven already?
Yes, because they're already disciples of his. He's called them. He's speaking to them. It's interesting how the Beatitudes go along. If the first up to verse 10, Jesus speaks in the third person. So you might think, well, does this really kind of apply to me? Is he speaking to someone else type of a thing? But if you're a disciple of Jesus, he's addressing you, and then he gets more particular when he gets to verse 11. He says, you are blessed, or blessed are you when people insult you and so forth. It goes from the third person into the second person now, which is kind of the gateway or doorway into the rest of the sermon, because now you are ready to hear what he's going to say next as a disciple of Christ. And I find this comforting because when Jesus starts talking about how your righteousness has to exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, and I see that that is not the case in my life, then you go back to, blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, like those directions that say, go back to direction number one, rule number one, you're poor in spirit. Ah, mine is the kingdom of heaven. I don't have to stay in this sort of despair about my not having the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. I've been given righteousness in Christ.
You know, I appreciate Pastor Kistler really pointing out how if you follow the flow of the Beatitudes here, or each one of these statements by Christ, blessed are, etc., because not only do you move from in verses 3 through 10, where it's in the third person, to verse 11, where it's the second person, if you notice both verse 3 and 10, it is blessed are certain individuals because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Present tense. Verses 4 through 9, the because is in the future tense, something that is going to be true, if you will. So like verse 4, because they will be comforted, will be, future tense. And that's true in verses 4 through 9. Verses 3 and 10, it's the present tense, which really points out the kingdom of the heavens, the rule and reign of God coming out of heaven in Christ is a present reality right now as Christ stands before them. This is God's gracious rule and reign.
With a future fulfillment, a future consummation or completion.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And Pastor Kistler is right on the money in that regard, talking about that it is a now but not yet reality, that the rule and reign is present right here, right now, but we're waiting for the full consummation of that in the life to come.
Before before we leave that behind, this idea of spiritual poverty, which I guess I was always puzzled as a first-time, a somewhat serious student of Scripture, that Jesus would commend being poor in spirit rather than being what would be the maybe rich in spirit or you know, having great spiritual wealth. Why is poverty of spirit here that which is the condition of the blessed, Pastor Kessler?
First, we have to see ourselves for who we are apart from Christ, how we come into this world. And a disciple of Jesus is going to recognize this through the Lord's word having its way with us. The poor in spirit really describes everyone on earth, but a disciple of Jesus who's sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to his word, and as that word has its way with us, will cause us to come to realize, I, in and of myself, am poor in spirit. I have nothing to offer God but my sin. I can't save myself. I am an unrighteous wretch, a beggar, if you will. And I need Jesus to pour his riches into me. So I do become rich in Christ. But it's a riches, again, that's given to me. I don't have of my own by my own nature.
Is the poor in spirit the title, and then you said just a moment ago, Kevin, that the verb tense shifts to the future for the they shall. Does that kind of say, okay, and now I'm going to explain what poverty of spirit really looks like. It means hungering and thirsting for righteousness. It means all, rather than just one among a list of attributes, mm-hmm. so to speak, is it the general spiritual condition of Jesus' disciple?
You know, that's a very good question. I think that is a legitimate way to read this, that the Lord starts it off with kind of this overarching statement regarding being poor in spirit. And yeah, then he unpacks. Those who are poor in spirit are those who happen to be, well, hitting these various things, that these are the things that they're grappling with in life. And in the present tense, right now, the thing that carries them through all those things is the rule and reign of the heavens. And that rule and reign of the heavens, when it comes to consummation, is going to have all of these future realities that help carry them through all the more in the age to come.
The next one is those who mourn. What is Jesus talking about here?
Gibbs points this out, and I didn't see this myself, but the poor in spirit is the condition, he would say. And the result is that these people who are poor in spirit are going to be mourning. What are they mourning over? They're mourning over the fact that they are poor in spirit. They're mourning over the fact that they have sins, that they struggle in this life against their own sinful nature and against the devil and the world. So this mourning is going to go on until the end. It's an ongoing thing. We are comforted now in this life through the proclamation of the gospel, giving us peace through that message, Christ crucified for us, our sins are taken away. But here again is this sort of now but not yetness. It's like Romans 7. I've got the new nature and the old nature constantly doing battle here. I am mourning constantly over this battle that I have to face, my sinfulness, my unrighteousness. But I'm also being comforted by Christ and will eventually, at the consummation of the ages, will completely be comforted. There will be no more mourning, crying, or pain. So that fulfillment is coming.
And there's another aspect to this matter of the mourning that I think would be very beneficial for us to keep in mind, and that is, once again, hearkening to the fact that the gospel according to Matthew was specifically penned with Hebrew individuals in mind, and therefore it pulls on the richness of the Old Testament. And so therefore, it's really good if you have that resonating in the back of your mind, is to realize that when the disciples hear this, they're going to be hearing anything that's pulling from the faith of the Old Testament, and that will resonate in their ears. And one thing that would be resonating in the very early part of these Beatitudes would be the prophet Isaiah, which not only was he monumental for the disciples, but he's monumental in these specific words. So, for example, when Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God," or the kingdom of the heavens, "Blessed are the ones who mourn, for they will be comforted. That word, blessed are those who mourn, if you hearken back to Isaiah 61, which this was the text that Christ uses for his inaugural sermon, you'll recall, when he preaches in his hometown in the synagogue. And there we hear about how the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon him to bring good news to the poor. All right, that's going to be big in all this. Good news to the poor, that's what you heard in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. But then in verse 2 of Isaiah 61, he proclaims the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn. So where is that comforting of all who mourn that's promised in Isaiah 61? It's coming right here in Christ as he comes and says simply, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
We only have a few seconds here before our next break here, Pastor Kistler, but mourning is generally associated with death. Is this an implicit promise of the resurrection already in Matthew's gospel?
Yes, I think it is. Because you're mourning over death, but you're going to be comforted over from that mourning. The comfort, the final comfort, the perfect comfort, does come at the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting.
It's our Pastor's Roundtable on this Tuesday afternoon, October the 30th. I invite your questions or comments. We are giving away a copy of the Lutheran Study Bible to the listener with the best question or comment for our Pastor's Roundtable. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email. Please include your city and state. talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc or leave your question or comment for our Pastor's Roundtable at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Athanasius, Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century, was known for boldly confessing Jesus Christ as both true God and true man. This is what we do at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C., continuing this historic confession of our Savior, who died for us and now comes to us in word and sacrament. If you live in the D.C. area or just visiting, come join us. For more information, find us on the web, St. Athanasius Lutheran Church.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the Church Bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Blessed are the meek and humble, for the earth to them is willed. Those who hunger to be holy, they are blessed and will be filled. Yes, the merciful are blessed, mercy's will to them be shown.
The hymn Jesus Sat with His Disciples stands at 2. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc., our pastor's roundtable on this Tuesday afternoon, studying the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, the first 12 verses. The time is short. It's coming soon. Friday. This Friday, believe it or not, it's Issues Etc. 24. If you've never heard of this before, something we do every year. It is a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. It begins this Friday, this coming Friday, at 3 p.m. Central, and it runs for 24 straight hours. We're going to take 12 guests, 12 topics, including the Trinity, Christ, original sin and free will and conversion, justification, law and gospel, good works, the ministry, the church, baptism, Lord's Supper, confession and absolution, and Christ's return in judgment. All of that in 24 hours and two-hour blocks with the very best guests that we can assemble all through the night for you to listen, either live or on demand. Issues Etc. 24 is a way of kind of telling our listeners how much we care about them. One of the things you can do for us in advance of Issues Etc. 24 is help us promote it so more people will be listening. And you can do that by going to our website, issuesetc.org. There is the Issues Etc. 24 video. Email it to your friend or share it on Facebook or on Pinterest or whatever you use, and help us promote Issues Etc. 24 this Friday beginning at 3 p.m. Central. Larry's listening in St. Louis. Larry, thanks for waiting on the line.
Good afternoon, Trinity there of pastors. You know, a couple Sundays ago, I recall the gospel reading was talking about it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Do you recall that, Pastor Golden?
I do recall that. In fact, I preached on that text.
Okay, exactly. And so therefore, rich people are entangled in the world and in the lust of riches in the world. And they really don't want to seek Jesus. But here in the Beatitudes, it's like black and white. The poor in spirit need everything. They need they know they're spiritually deficient. And so Christ is pointing that out to the disciples. I think it's an interesting difference in the gospel lesson from a couple Sundays ago and what you gentlemen are talking about right now.
I'd like both of you to respond to that. First, Pastor Kistler, then Pastor Golden. What do you make of Larry's thoughts there?
Yeah, it's a good thing that Jesus says, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit and not those who, you know, don't have very big bank accounts, that kind of thing, because, you know, who knows who'd get in and out in that case. There's a lot of rich Christians, a lot of rich saints in the scriptures, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph of Arimathea, David and Solomon. They had a lot of money, a lot of possessions, but they didn't make those possessions their gods. They didn't put their heart on them. I'm thinking of the parable of the rich fool in Luke, where Jesus says to guard against covetousness, for one's life doesn't consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he talks about this rich guy who, you know, had all this money, didn't know what to do with. He's going to build these barns and you know, just kick back and take life easy. And then God says, you fool, this night your life is required of you, and then who will get the things that you've prepared. And then Jesus ends with, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and not rich towards God. So somebody who has a lot of money can still be poor in spirit when he realizes, hey, my my life doesn't depend on my possessions. I'm poor in spirit. I don't have anything to offer God. I can't save myself. I'm a miserable wretch before God, even though I have money. On the same lines, you know, you could have somebody who doesn't have a very big bank account holding on to what little he has, clinging to it for dear life, because that's all his life consists of, and still not being rich towards God. So it's richness and poverty before God and how God views that and not the world.
Yes, and the other thing I recall from a couple weeks ago when this text arose as our gospel reading, out of the gospel according to Mark, Jesus says this. He says, how difficult it is for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of the heavens. And then shortly thereafter, a couple verses later, Jesus says, children, how difficult it is to enter into the kingdom of the heavens. And when he says it that second time, notice he takes away any kind of statement regarding riches. He's just saying it is just flat out difficult to get into the kingdom of the heavens if you are dependent on yourself, because he goes on to say, when it comes to man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And that's really the big point of that text. Now, certainly riches can become a major stumbling block in this way, for much the reason that Pastor Kistler was just explaining. We begin to cling to those things and such. But also, it is so easy for us sinful humans to try to explain a way to say, well, that really doesn't apply to me, because the guy down the street, he's richer than I am. All right. Even though, as an American, you know, if you're sitting in America today, you are one of the filthy rich of the world. You're one of the 1%, if you will. But Jesus wants to make sure that we do not try to use that as an escape to say, well, I'm not rich compared to that other guy. So Jesus just simply says, children, how difficult it is to enter into the kingdom of the heavens, to point out that if it were up to us and our own efforts, we'd never make it. And therefore, we're completely dependent on Christ, and hence poor in spirit.
Jan in Atlanta has a question about one of the words here in the text from Matthew's gospel. Quoting from Revelation 14:13, I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, they rest from their labors and their deeds follow them. And Jan asks, in that verse, is that the same Greek word for blessed? Is this an example of a now not yet in the triumphant saints who have seen the object of their faith? Thanks. She says, real quickly there, is it the same word, Pastor Golden?
Yes, it is. It is that same Greek word, makaroi, and therefore, and I really like the direction she goes with her question, in that it does point out that even in this interim period, if you will, as the dead are awaiting the resurrection on the last day, even during this time, they are blessed because they have been proclaimed to be blessed by God himself, and so therefore we find peace and comfort in that reality, that our loved ones who have gone before us are in this blessed state because of God. But nevertheless, we're also looking forward to the last day when the fullness of what Christ has won for us will come about with the resurrection and eternal life.
There is a kind of upside down nature of these Beatitudes, Pastor Kistler, that becomes evident as we read on in Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We all know that the meek don't inherit the earth, the strong do. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, they shall be shown mercy. In the world, these kind of attributes do not have the results that Jesus talks about. What's different about the reign of the heavens, where everything seems to be upside down?
The Beatitudes 1 through 4, Gibbs talks about how these describe sort of an inherent emptiness that we disciples have that Jesus fills. And the verbs here are important, too. It's in the present tense in verse 3, where the kingdom of heaven is ours, even though we can't see it now, even though we suffer and are persecuted and so forth, even though we might not, you know, have riches now. Then the other verbs are, they will be comforted, they will inherit the earth, they will be satisfied. Again, there is a kind of fulfillment of that now, and that we have our inheritance as a sure thing in Christ. We're heirs with Christ. We've got the Holy Spirit as the guarantee of this inheritance to come. but it's that we have not come into full possession of it yet. We don't see it yet with our eyes. We will inherit this earth. This earth belongs to God's people. Also, when it comes to verses 7 through 10, now you sort of get into the, what does the disciple look like in this world? Well, he's merciful as his Lord is merciful. One who's on the receiving end of Christ's mercy, that mercy is going to flow out through us. Then you get the ones who are pure in heart, that is, that they worship the one true God, and they will eventually see God with their own eyes. So some of these things, again, are right now given to us by God's promise. We have them in the Word, delivered to us in the Word and the sacraments, but again, there's this now but not yet-ness aspect to these things.
Is there a kind of a bookend that we find here, Pastor Golden, as we go into this break? In verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, again, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Is that a bookend to the first one?
Yes, it is. And therefore, that's also setting up, of course, and I think this is where you're taking us, verse 11, which almost then just kind of jumps off the page at you because, hey, we're wrapping up the these blessed statements by Christ, but then he's got a little clincher for us to pull it in after that.
We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. A lot of things shift right there at verse 11 because he suddenly, after having spoken of these blessed ones in the third person, he shifts to the second person, to his disciples. He speaks directly to them and to us. But the picture that he paints of discipleship is decidedly one of hardship and trouble, persecution, and even death. We'll talk about more of that when we come back with our pastor's roundtable on this Tuesday afternoon, October the 30th.
Coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. final stanza of the hymn, Jesus Sat with His Disciples. We're talking about the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, our pastor's roundtable. Pastor Dan Kistler and Pastor Kevin Golden are our guests. Okay, you laid the groundwork very nicely for us, Pastor Golden, before the break. And there is a shift grammatically. There is a shift in almost every way in the last two verses, 11 and 12, where Jesus does two things, and I want to talk about both of them. First of all, he directs what had been third person, they, them, to a decidedly second person, you. In fact, the pronouns are just jumping out in the Greek. What's happening there?
In many ways, this is Jesus making it very clear. I'm not speaking in abstract. I'm not speaking in a vacuum as if, you know, something, some people that are supposedly out there, but hey, guys, I'm talking about you. Blessed are you. And especially when also you see this strong connection between verses 10 and 11, where he says, blessed are those who are persecuted on behalf of righteousness. He even fleshes that more out in verse 11 when he says, blessed are you whenever you are persecuted and people say all evil against you falsely on account of me. And to me, that's one of actually the most profound parts of this. And once again, it jumps out when you see it in the Greek that what was on behalf of or because of righteousness in verse 10, because of, on account of, or because of me in verse 11. It's the same preposition, which is not a very common preposition. This henekin is what it is in the Greek. And so it just kind of jumps off the page at you is that there's this identity between righteousness and Jesus saying me. Well, Jesus is righteousness.
That was the other thing I wanted to for you to speak to, Dan, and that is Jesus injects himself into these Beatitudes now. He says what really is the key factor here for these people who are blessed, now he's speaking directly to his disciples, is their connection to him. Your thoughts there.
Right. This comes into play when a pastor wants to know, well, how am I going to preach the Beatitudes? It's very daunting to have this as a text to preach on, because you feel like you have to go through every word here and explain what it means. And where do you find Jesus? How do you get the people to understand that this is gospel for them? And it's in these because clauses that they are comforted, or the kingdom of heaven is theirs, or they will be comforted and they will inherit the earth, all because of Jesus. And it kind of finds its full the pinnacle of this comes back in verse 9 when Christ's disciples are peacemakers because they take the message of the cross to the world. And for that reason, they will be called sons of God, because it's not a peace, an earthly peace that they're delivering to the world. It's peace with God through Jesus Christ. And because of that message, because they proclaim this message of peace, they are going to be persecuted because of righteousness. This righteousness word, not specifically here talking about the righteousness with which God imputes us with righteousness or declares us righteousness, although it's not separated from that. But as Kevin said, this is Christ himself, God's work of salvation through Christ. Christ's disciples are being persecuted because they belong to him, because they are proclaiming him. And we can actually rejoice in that, rejoice and exalt, Jesus says. I don't know, that's very hard to do when you're being insulted and persecuted and people are lying and speaking evil against you, but you're right there with Christ. He's right there with you, and you're being persecuted because you're delivering him and his word to people.
Noah has a question. He asks, is it good exegesis to interpret this passage as only applying to believers? Admittedly, if we interpret it as applying to everyone, we run into questions like, how can all peacemakers, including unbelieving ones, be called sons of God? Does this apply only to believers, Kevin.
Yeah, and there's a variety of ways that you can really see that. One is what you see on the back end that Pastor Kistler and I were just talking about as far as Jesus interjecting himself very clearly in this. But the other one is, if you go back again to verse 2, where we took note of, and opening his mouth, Jesus began to teach them, saying, and who does the them refer to? The Greek is nice and clear that the them refers to specifically to the disciples. So he's not speaking to a generic audience. He's speaking specifically to his disciples, and therefore he's teaching them, this is what life under my gracious reign and rule actually looks like. This is what the life of the church looks like. And this is, by the way, also, this would be one of the great things if you pick up that excellent commentary by Dr. Gibbs that has been referenced along the way here. He does give some attention to that, and this is good basic scholarship regarding the gospel according to Matthew, that the whole Sermon on the Mount is really Jesus addressing this issue of what does life under my gracious reign and rule look like? What does life in the church look like? So that this is what those who have faith in Christ, what life for them looks like. And it all starts off with Christ blessing them. And then you can carry through with the rest of the Sermon on the Mount as far as what the life of the church looks like.
Dan, there's a question from Diana in Paris, Texas. Can this be considered a law or gospel scripture? What's your answer to that?
I would definitely say it's gospel. Jesus is not commanding us to do anything. He is not saying you must be these things. He's just saying, look, this is, again, what life is like for my disciples under my reign. This is who you are in Christ. All of these blessings, they're gospel words. They're not, you know, try to get yourself blessed. Try to seek this out for yourself. But you are blessed. What his words say, they do. I mean, Jesus speaks us blessed, and we are blessed. These aren't meant to be sort of a thermometer that you want to stick in your mouth and say, now, how am I doing on showing mercy or being pure in heart here? That's to look inward on ourselves. The more you're going to look to Jesus and receive his gifts and hear his words, in fact, that's kind of where Luther goes with the pure in heart. It's the people who are meditating on reading and hearing the word of God that these things will be seen in you, even if you can't yourself see them. This is who you are in Christ. And persecutions and insults go along with it, which also tells us that this is a theology of the cross. The kingdom of God, the reign of heaven in this world is going to look very like a suffering church. There's a humility, a humbleness that is characteristic of God's people. Because Christ suffered and died, we too are going to suffer and die in this present age. So there's nothing like a theology of glory here. Don't expect that, you know, things are going to be well for you and you're going to live in these palaces and things are going to be fine. You're going to suffer persecution. It's not always going to be physical persecution. That's where when Jesus says whenever people insult you or persecute you, doesn't mean you're going to suffer this all the time or suffer the same kinds of persecutions that other Christians do. But you got the world, the devil, and your own sinful flesh to contend with in this life, and there will be suffering and persecution.
Pastor Dan Kistler is pastor of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. Dan, it's always a pleasure, and thanks for being our guest.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Pastor Kevin Golden is pastor of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, a suburb of St. Louis. Thanks for coming in, Kevin, and thank you.
Good to be here, as always.
Thanks to both of you, you pastors and congregations, for being part of the Issues Etc. 300. Both those congregations, Village in Ladue and Our Savior's in Pacifica, California, part of the Issues Etc. 300. It's our congregational sponsorship program. Now the time for asking your congregation or reminding your congregation to renew its membership in the Issues Etc. 300 is upon us. As the year comes to an end, a lot of congregations are facing a new fiscal year with January 2013. This is the time to go to your congregation, find out when the meeting is, and put in your request that your congregation either join or renew its membership in the Issues Etc. 300. They do that by including Issues Etc. in their mission or advertising budget at $1,000. So all you need to do, if you're looking for information to present to your congregation, is go to our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a one-page flyer under the support page that you can download and print off, take it to your congregation, ask them to join or renew their membership in the Issues Etc. 300. Jan in Atlanta, if you'll send us your mailing address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. We will send you a copy of the Lutheran Study Bible. Thanks to everybody with their questions or their comments for our Pastor's Roundtable. In hour two of the program, we're going to start off talking a little bit about missions in Sri Lanka, part of our series this week, Lutheranism Around the World, surrounding the celebration of Reformation Day tomorrow on the calendar. Pastor Roger James will be our guest. He is the newly called missionary to Sri Lanka for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Then we will take up the subject of Halloween. In advance of Halloween, is it really a pagan holiday? Was it really developed by the pagans years and years ago? Does it really have its origins, all of these traditions that go along with Halloween, in pagan practices and pagan celebrations? Is it true that Christians somehow took this holiday and baptized it into something like the remembrance of all the saints? Or was it actually the other way around? We'll answer that question and get a history of Halloween in hour two of Issues Etc. with Pastor Joseph Abrahamson. We have these blessings. They are the verdict, and they are the proclamation, and they are the declaration of Jesus himself. If Jesus says you are blessed, then you are. That is the very essence of what it means to be blessed. I know we think about blessings in terms of our circumstances and things we can measure, but we should not. We should listen clearly to the voice of Jesus, who says to all who are citizens of his gracious kingdom of heaven by his blood on the cross, we are in fact blessed, and the blessings to come we have yet to see. We'll be right back with hour two.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.